Wednesday, April 18th, 2012, and the radio program is on the air. This is Primetime Sports on the Fan Radio Network on Sirius, Channel 157, and on Sportsnet in high definition. Bob McCowan and Damien Cox in our Toronto studios. A little bit later on, the former sheriff of the National Hockey League, now director of hockey operations, Coley Campbell, will join us.
Otherwise known as the happiest man in the world.
Yep. And Brent Sutter, the new, well, I keep saying new. You have to be. There's always
this year's
head coach of the World Championship.
You miss
Team
a day
Canada.
Or two and you become completely discombobulated.
Team guy thing. Well,
just back to Coley for a second. Do you know anybody else who could ever be so happy that you have been fired?
Well, now you say he was fired. Are you sure of that?
Well, they took that responsibility away from him. You can call it what you want.
I thought he sort of wanted it taken away from him.
I think that might have been true. And I think probably, and we can ask him this, some of that was out of deference to his son who was having a hell of a time dealing with being, you know.
Coley Campbell's kid.
And at some point, you want to let him play in the National Hockey League.
Well, there was that whole email thing that became public.
Yeah.
Or was it emails or
yeah, it was emails.
Text messages
yep.
or tweets or something? Apparently, Glenn Healy is in communication. Oh, we have Mr. Healy? Oh, excellent. We have finally located him. From a tavern somewhere at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk. Here's Glenn Healy. Hello, Target. How are you?
I'm actually between the benches.
Are you right now?
Yeah, right now. Yeah. You know, you gotta be ready and in place with CBC. No
Hang
messing
on.
Around.
So you're there between the benches. Is anybody on the benches?
Nobody.
Is anybody in the arena?
They just actually let the crowd in now, and they're starting to come in, a little smattering of some people. I just watched all the sharpshooters make their way into the building, so that tells me that, no, not Batman's here, but the Prime Minister's here. So it'll be a big night.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Is the Prime Minister sitting anywhere near you?
You know, there is a white towel on every single chair in this building but two. Guess where the Prime Minister's sitting. No white towel needed for him. So.
We should tell people, by the way, that Glenn Healy is, I assume, in Ottawa, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching, Damien. I'm glad you saw the first three games of the series.
No, I was watching the games, just had when you came on, I would turn it down. You understand.
Well, I tell you what, if game four is anything like game three, we're in for a whale of a game.
Well, and here's my question. Lundqvist was brilliant the other night.
Yeah.
Pekka was outstanding for Nashville and has been outstanding all year long. Who's been the best goalie in the playoffs so far?
You know what? I've watched Lundqvist through the first three games and Pekka Rinne. I've watched most games on off nights, but, Lundqvist has been spectacular. You know, I think back to game one, they were getting outshot 22-11 when Tortorella finally had enough and called timeout with a lead. Said, like, wake up, defend this goaltender. They just... You know, no matter where the chances are from, he just seems to be calm and cool. And, you know, seven straight years of 30-plus wins. No goalie in the history of the game's done that. It's almost like this year he's out to make his stamp and say, I got to do something in the postseason. And
yeah,
he's
yeah.
Off
well,
the great start.
I'm not here to suggest that either of the guys you've mentioned aren't worthy of consideration. But if we're going to talk about best, and at least for the purpose of discussion, shouldn't we throw that quick guy in this conversation too? He's been pretty good.
That'd be a pretty good starting point for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? First off, you can't get into the playoffs without goaltending. We've lived that dream for 8 years in Toronto.
Yeah.
But once you get in, man, one guy can make a huge difference. And you know,
either way,
all the teams that are in. I mean, is there a team that you would? Well, maybe in the Pittsburgh series, it's first save.
Well, yeah.
But the rest of them, it's the stars every night are the goalies.
Now, let me ask you this, Mr. Healy, of Hockey Night in Canada and a goalie genius. Let's look at those three names we talked about, Lundqvist, Rinne, Quick, and maybe the fourth best guy. Let's just say the fourth best guy is Tim Thomas. What do they all have in common? Not one of them's a Canadian. Where are our goalies, and who in the world is going to play goal in Sochi?
That is interesting, isn't it, huh?
Well, I would put some money on a Carey Price guy who's
won nothing.
Who's got a pretty good NHL career going so far.
Yeah, they finished dead last in the East this year. So, okay, so that's who we're going to go with.
Man, the show was so positive.
No, I asked you a question. And, I mean, you tell me, is there, well, Marty Brodeur got pulled last night. Marc-Andre Fleury has been
a nightmare. Holy cow.
Vancouver can't or won't play Roberto Luongo with its season on the line. And he won the gold medal last time. Is there not a little bit of a crisis in Canadian goaltending here?
Uncle, you make a good point. This is the first. We only got to record this, don't we?
Yeah.
I would agree. Yeah, there's certainly a shortage right now. And I think other countries have kind of caught up a little bit. You know, you look at some of the Finnish goalies that are in the game today, they're pretty darn good. Yeah. They're all athletic. They can all catch the puck. I mean, Pekka Rennie's got a phenomenal glove hand. You're lucky to get a rebound on the guy.
Yeah.
He was the backup to Nicholas Backstrom back in the day. It's one of the reasons that no one drafted him until really late in the draft, because no one saw him play. He'd fly to Sweden and never play. You're bang on. The positions evolved, and other countries maybe have caught up a little bit.
With Glenn Healy. Okay, let's go.
Boy,
get...
he just turtled, didn't he?
Yeah,
he just
did.
Gave up the ghost on that one.
Yeah, you beat him up pretty good.
Okay,
there,
let's
Damien.
Find...
Congratulations.
let's give him something he can handle. Come on.
Something underhanded, maybe?
What's Rafi Torres going to get?
Life?
No, you know what? He's a hit-to-hurt type player, and I don't like that about him. And for every video that we've watched of Tom, his past transgressions, there's been a whole host of other ones that that we haven't seen, but he's close to getting calls about. So I would imagine that he's a lot like Wisniewski was at the start of the year. The repeat offenders, Brendan has made a point that he's out to get them, and not get them, but out to show that you can't, you know, put people onto stretchers and you're going to get away with it. I mean, I guess you can if the refereeing's that lousy, but I would imagine he's going to get 7. And that's significant considering it's playoffs, and I can't think of a bigger suspension other than Dale Hunter.
The Rocket. Maurice Rocket Richard.
Yeah, and that caused a riot.
Yeah.
So I don't think you'd even get enough people in Phoenix to come to the game to riot. So.
Well, I don't know what the number is. Have you been... how do you feel about the tone of the first week? It's only been like a week. Of these playoffs,
I don't like it. I love tough hockey.
Right.
You know, I think the referees have really blown it here in the sense that, you know, players will adapt. You know, if the game's called, you know, with some sense of order, they'll play with a sense of order. If there's lawlessness in the game and the referees allow it, it gains momentum. And I've seen that in our series. I mean, you start off with, you know, a game two, a guy jumps a player, hits him 15 times. You know, within 3 minutes, there's a spear, a slash. Players are grabbing each other in headlocks and pile driving on the ice. And no call. And yet, you could watch another series, and if you stop and spray snow at a goaltender, you know, you're going to get a penalty like Ryan Kessler. So a lot of what's gone on, the referees are to blame. I'm sorry. You let it go. You know, we see all these scrums that are happening all over the league. Every whistle, there's a scrum at the goalie.
Exactly.
You give somebody a 10... it's over. You won't get another scrum.
No, I'll give you a better idea. Give 4 guys 10.
There you go.
Yeah.
And it'll come to an end in a real quick way. And you know the guys that are creating it. I mean, I can look at the cast of characters in this series and tell you that, you know, Zenon Konopka, every single chance he can, bumps Lundqvist, always is around his face. Give him a 10. It'll stop.
Instead, Heels, they give him nothing. They don't do anything to him. Except fine him for yelling at a guy while he's being interviewed by Pierre McGuire.
That's probably the best part of their show.
Oh, nice.
So, and likewise, you know, I would never be a proponent for this, but if Brendan Shanahan's going to make if he doesn't like some of the stuff that's going on, if you're to fine guys $2,500 for each transgression and Konopka gets $7,500 with the fines in a game, he's going to stop the antics. No question. It'll come to a quick stop. Once you see some of that money go away.
Yeah, here, and look, I'm going to get accused again, as I have been before, of piling on the commissioner of the National Hockey League, but he's at the top of the food chain here. It continually occurs to me that if Gary Bettman doesn't like what's going on, Gary Bettman could change it. whether that is by making some sort of pronouncement, whether that is by telling his lieutenants to tell the officials to change the way the game is being called. And what we have seen and heard from Gary Bettman is deafening silence. And I dare say you would not get that from the commissioner of the National Football League, the NBA, or Major League Baseball. Any of the commissioners of those sports believed that their league was out of control, out of step, out of touch, presenting a product that the league itself didn't like, they would respond publicly. And this guy has said nothing. And so therefore we are left with only one conclusion, Heels, and that is they are endorsing this, as I have termed it, complete and utter chaos on the ice.
Well, you're bang on about the other sports, because if you wear the wrong T-shirt in football, you're getting whacked for about $25,000.
You betcha.
So they have a really short leash when it comes to conduct and code. I do know that there was a conference call with the general managers before the playoffs started, and there was some tone laid out. You know, there wouldn't be tolerating the antics and scrums. There's a whole host of things they went over. Now, it's not being enforced. So if you're not endorsing what goes on in the scrums and you're told to give players 10, then give them 10. But if you're not doing it, then you're going to get what we see here now. In Gary's defense, there is no chance that he looks at a player leaving in a stretcher and thinks that that is okay. In fact, I know that he would think that that's just not appropriate. Now, you know, it's up to the players who are playing whistle to whistle to show some respect and stay away from some people's noggins, because those injuries, they go on a lot further than the 60 minutes of the game.
Sorry, Hills, I disagree with you.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm sorry, because he has the power to change it, and he doesn't.
Instantly.
And he never does. And so I think the only thing I can think, and I mean, I've known Gary Bettman for as long as you have and talked to him a zillion times, I think he believes that the threat of harm and injury and the violence in the game is absolutely integral to their ability to sell tickets.
Correct.
And television contracts, that he believes it is important that a guy gets taken off on a stretcher every once in a while.
Yeah. I would respectfully disagree. I have no doubt that he likes fighting. I have no doubt that the fans like fighting. If a fight happens and Dalai Lama is in the building, he's watching. He ain't leaving. I get it.
That's the
stretcher part, and the amount of players that we've lost because of careless, reckless acts where you launch yourself at someone's head like a missile, I can't believe that people would find that to be enjoyable.
Then why doesn't he change it then? Why doesn't he change it?
Well, I guess your opinion would be whack guys. 10 games, 20 games, 30 games, whatever it may be. I can tell you that Shanahan has to follow precedent. And if he set precedent at 2 games, or precedent for smashing someone's head against the glass with your hand is $2,500, that's what it is. You've set the bar. And if you change that bar, well, you're going to get grief from the Players Association if you give a guy like Torres life.
But let me just throw one thing in here. Because Healy was there when Pierre Turgeon got run into the sideboards by Dale Hunter, and out of nowhere came this massive suspension by Gary Bettman of Dale Hunter, for which there was no precedent, Heels.
None.
So what you're saying is not true. They don't have to follow precedent.
A different regime, and I would imagine that this
what was the different what was the different regime
today?
What do you mean a different?
Might not even have been Bob. Might have been the tail end of Alan Eagleson's time.
But Bettman was running the league.
I think he probably started, that would be his first season.
But he stepped up and without precedent, delivered down. So why can't they do it now?
They have the right. And, if you think that would stop some of the stuff that's going on, hey, it would definitely deter it. But I think that, there's lots of layers to the onion. There's the respect factor. There's a whole host of issues that should happen in conjunction with what's going on. But, the games have been great. I mean, this series that we've had here in Ottawa, you don't turn away from the TV because this is a phenomenal series. There's been some nasty stuff. Yeah, I get that. But overall, the games have been darn exciting. And most of the playoff games that we watched have been good. And the only series that has been really a circus has been the Pittsburgh series, and Crosby's the guy causing it all. He's the best player in the game.
I'm sorry,
it's an interesting analysis.
But that's sort of along the lines of, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the theater? I mean, if the only thing you're talking, and all of us are talking about, and fans are talking about, and players are talking about, and teams are talking about, is all the crap, then all the great things that you're talking about, and I see them too, Hills. I mean, that Nashville-Detroit game was outstanding last night. If it's all being overwhelmed by stuff that doesn't have to happen, then you're just shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah.
Well, I would imagine that there is no one pill will clear all this up. But if you're condoning bigger suspensions and get Gary has to step in and hand them out in conjunction with Shanny, I would think that, you know, Shanny and his staff, because Rob Blake's on it and Steph Van Kentel's on it, you know, these are guys that played the game. And I would imagine, they don't look at this and they're out to cripple people in the sense that they think what they're doing is right, is fair, and certainly has some precedent to it.
Do you think that any
suspension... Do we need more to stop it? Well, if it continues, your plan B may work too.
Well, Heels, if your objective is to stop this through fines and or suspensions, fines are irrelevant, so it'd have to be suspensions. If we really are to believe the NHL doesn't want this kind of nonsense in there, are these guys so thick that they don't realize that the punishment that they have been meting out for the last 6 months has not acted as any kind of deterrent, zero deterrent at all? Therefore, it has failed colossally, miserably, biblically. I mean, do they understand they are failures in their efforts to curb this, if that's what they want to do?
Well, this is the first time that I have seen playoffs this nasty. And in the sense that playoffs are a time when players don't get paid.
Generally speaking, yes, we understand it. Usually it's
no salary.
Yeah, and usually guys put all that stuff on the back burner. There's lots less fighting, all that kind of stuff.
But that's saying something.
But now we got chaos.
No, but Heels, that's saying something. These are the nastiest playoffs you've ever seen.
I think the big thing there, like a Karkner, for instance, I can guarantee you that the players in Ottawa put him on their shoulders and danced him around the room after he took his 5-minute major and hit probably the most evil guy in this series, Brian Boyle, 15 times without one punch back. So, did that deter him one game? No, he'll be back in the lineup tonight. But the fact that there
I'm
is...
I'm sure the Rangers are very happy about that.
Yeah.
They're not.
I'm sure they are. Can't play.
In some ways, they got out-coached in that game. Much different animal tonight. But I would agree that there's a level of unlawlessness that I haven't seen in a long time.
I'm surprised that you would say that, because you played in some nasty series.
We had, five-on-five brawls back in the day. Mm-hmm. It was the days of the Los Angeles Kings, where we had, 18 tough guys and one guy who needed sticks. The rest of us were all there. We didn't even need elbow pads or gloves. My first ever NHL game was in Nanaimo, British Columbia, an exhibition game. And we finished the game with three players on each bench.
Do you think
that's
the game?
Hockey.
Do you think the game was better when it was like that than when it's like now?
Well, it was different in the sense that, when you take the red line out now, when you talk about the way players are conditioned, when you talk about no out of bounds and no holdups, the speed is significantly better now than it was when I played. And I can tell you that the speed is significantly better now than it was coming out of 2004, when you've had like a whole rollover of a certain type of player that has to have a skill set to play in today's game. And it's all about speed.
100% agreed. All the more reason why you need a new set of rules. You can't go by the old set of rules. The players aren't the same. The equipment isn't the same. It doesn't hurt when you deliver a check most of the time. The guys are going too fast for players to respond and react and get out of the way, even if it's a little duck here or a duck there. And what we are seeing now may be entertaining to some, and you are right. In the midst of all this, the problem is there's some very entertaining open ice, wide open offensive hockey being played. It is not all 2-1 kitty bar the door kind of nonsense that's going on. But it masks the real problem, is that this is the Wild West now, and there is no law, and there is no sheriff. And people are getting hurt, and it ain't going to stop till somebody crawls down from the ivory towers on Fifth Avenue or wherever they are and does something about it.
Well, there are probably two people that could answer that question, and it's not any of us. And those are the same two people that maybe have the secret as to what's going to happen to Phoenix next year, and they ain't telling anybody what's going on there either. So
I would
definitely agree. Yeah. You guys are hitting the nail on the head here.
Thanks, pal. We'll talk to you soon. Glenn Healy of Hockey Night in Canada in Ottawa. He'll do the Ottawa Ranger game tonight. 40 minutes for Gary Bettman to call in as I've suspended the black book.
I don't think he's going to call.
No, I don't think he has the stones to call either. I didn't say that. That's what I know.
That's what you said.
Well, no. How is he going to explain this? I mean,
well,
the man.
First of all,
do you not agree the man needs to stand up and say this is my view of what's going on?
I believe
because we're all sitting here trying to figure out what the hell do they want? What kind of game do they want to present here?
I believe that if he came on, he would handle himself in such a way that it would be very difficult to nail him down, and he would do what he did before the lockout, which was say, everything's fine, my people tell me everything's fine, and then when the lockout happened, they changed everything.
Yeah.
And so he's not going to come on here and say, yeah, you know what, Bob, I've thought about what you said. You're right. You are absolutely right.
Well, that's fine. Just tell me what you think, Gary. You can say whatever you want to say.
And he's going to say, these are the fastest playoffs we've ever had.
Yeah, but
attendance
we don't
is going through the roof. TV ratings are this. We've gone from being a $2 billion industry to a $3 billion industry.
Blah, blah.
What should I worry about exactly, Bob McCown? That's what he'll say.
No. Okay, fine. At least he says something.
And he's got somebody to buy Phoenix.
No. They're lined up to buy Phoenix.
Very popular team.
Like day one of the iPad. They're lined up.
In fact, you know what? Things are so good there, they may put a second team in.
That's what they're
thinking. A team in Scottsdale and one in Glendale.
They might move both Florida and New Jersey to Glendale. There'll be three teams in Glendale.
Housing is very affordable for hockey players down there.
Well, and there's lots of it.
Yeah. You can have your pick.
Yeah. 23 minutes past the hour. I feel badly. All hell breaks loose and Coley Campbell's coming on. It's like a bad movie. It's like Groundhog Day.
Deja vu.
That's next when Primetime continues on The Fan, Sirius, and Sportsnet. The minute all hell breaks loose in the National Hockey League, invariably, you look down at the lineup and there's Coley Campbell's name. He used to be that way. Well, a lot of the times it was because of things that Coley did. Now he has nothing to do with it as far as we can understand.
And he always came on and tried to explain it to dumb guys like us. And
yeah.
We never understood, but he kept trying to explain it to us.
Kept trying to explain it to us, and it never sunk in. Here is the director of hockey operations for the National Hockey League. Here's Colin Campbell.
And the league keeps going on and doing well, despite what you guys are saying. And don't put that Blair guy on next time you're gone there, Bob.
It's a bleeping miracle, though, Campbell.
Here's
what I want. I have nothing to do with who replaces me. And why don't you like Blair? He's a very nice guy.
Holy cow. Boy, oh boy. You got to go in for a new contract if that's all they can do to replace you.
I'm right where you think I should be in that regard. By the way, your commissioner has 29 minutes to get out of the black book. He hasn't called me yet. If you have his private line, you can let him know. He's got this unique window of opportunity.
He's busy. Real busy.
Well, you know what he ought to be busy doing? Telling people what kind of league he wants to have here, because I'm confused. I don't know what the agenda is here. I mean, do you want chaos? Do you want guys running around trying to take other guys' heads off every night, laughing at the suspensions that are being administered? Or do you want what is also happening simultaneously, some pretty good hockey, really interesting, entertaining hockey in the midst of the Wild West lawlessness?
Well, I don't want to get into suspensions. I did that for 14 years.
I know. We don't want you to do that anymore. You had high stress.
It's a very difficult job, and lots of people have lots of comments on it. And
I know that.
There isn't an answer other than you do what you can do and do your best. It doesn't matter. I told Brendan going into the playoffs, it's different than the season. During the season, you deal with managers and they're upset on decisions, but you come to the playoffs and you've got whole cities that dislike you and fans and media shows and keep on going. And it just it's what we've spun here. There's lots of interest, that's for sure. And
I know you'll answer this. I'm going to ask you a question. I know you'll answer this honestly. In your 14 years, did you ever have anything even close to this?
Yes, I did.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Tell me.
There was lots of situations. You know, I had the situation with the email stuff that really was people, you know, spun that the wrong way. I had situations. I had Kyle MacLaren and Zednik. People tend to forget as life moves on, because it's a game, it's not real life. But we had Zednik and MacLaren in Montreal, and the whole city of Montreal was up in arms. Zednik was a leading scorer. MacLaren threw a hit and knocked him out and put Zednik out of the series. And
Coley, those were individual incidents, and while I grant you they caused you a great deal of trouble at the time, we're now into a week of a headshot, at least one suspension. I think we're 8 suspensions in 7 nights. I mean, I think that's what Bob was asking.
Yeah, it's pretty unprecedented, Coley. Like the amount of supplementary discipline that has had to be meted out in a few days.
Well, it was meted out and it was assessed, and as I used to say to myself, and it, you know, Brendan didn't do it, and Brendan has to be the one to deal with it. And, you know, everyone's responsible for it. And at the end of each season, we had some managers, and Damien was at the managers' meeting. And we had some managers talking about the standard of officiating and where we're going with the standard. And that's always a question. And we're watching it every night. And you don't do things in midstream. You don't do things in March. You look at the whole season and you say, okay, where are we at and where should we go and decide as a league. And Gary's done a pretty good job in directing us and saying, well, maybe that's what you managers want. But from a bigger picture, we've got a number of other individuals, groups that are part of this whole parcel. And we've got to look at the big picture and where should we go with this. And I know, Bob, you said before, and so has Damien, that, you know, we've got to look at 20-game, 25, 30-game suspensions. We've done that. Like, I've done it to Downey. I did it to Simon twice. It didn't stop anything. We did it to Bertuzzi.
Seemed to work with Matt Cook.
Pardon?
Seemed to work with Matt Cook pretty well.
Yeah.
Well, after how many?
Well, yeah, because you finally stepped up and gave him a big number.
I know, but he wasn't. The things he did, Damien, didn't require 15, 20 games. When he finally did it, we said enough.
Well, but if you, well, I'm not going to, I know you don't want to get, so we can go back and forth.
Yeah, we don't, it's too easy for us to view you as the face and voice and defender of the National Hockey League. And we understand very well that you are not, and that you are in an awkward position here tonight. And so it's difficult for us to address questions and issues and ask you to defend a league that, quite frankly, I don't think is defendable right now. I believe, Coley, that the three other commissioners of the three other major sports would have stood up and made some sort of declaration about what's going on if they thought things were not as they should be. And Gary's silence implies the only thing it can imply, and that is he's okay with what's going on.
No, Gary's not silent. He publicly hasn't come out there, but Gary's very active regarding what's going on and what we should do. You got to remember, though, that in each one of these suspensions, Gary can't get involved in the suspension itself because he hears the appeal. You know, it's whether it's his designee who deals with it, whether it's Brian Burke or whether it's me or whether it's Brendan Shanahan or Mike Murphy. And so, you know, I think this is a bigger picture, Bob and Damien. I think, you know, like you can blame whoever does it, whether Joe Blow does this, you know, like you've got to stand back and say, okay, you know, we've got a summer to look at this. Where do we go? We changed the playing field here. We took hits. We took legal hits that were legal one time. Would Scott Stevens' hits be fair now? We've been dealing with legal hits the last 2 years that now are illegal, a shoulder to the head. So now we're trying to deal with that and grasp what's wrong, how wrong is it, and where are we at with it. And so and we're dealing with players, too, who come from other leagues with different rules into our league. And now we're saying, why the heck did he put himself in that position? So there's a lot of factors, and I'm not defending the fact that, you know, we like what happened last night with the Torres hit. You know, but you have to take this just like we took 10 years ago or 8 years ago now at the lockout and said, okay, what is obstruction? It's hooking, it's holding, it's interference. Describe exactly what a player can't do, tell the coaches and referees, and go with it. This is an interference on a forecheck. This is an interference on a faceoff. This is a hook on the hands. This is an illegal hit. This is what you can't do. Get our arms around it and tell every player, every coach, every referee, every fan, everyone, this is where you can't go. And this is something we've moved to in the last year to 2 years with that, the shoulder hit to the head now. It used to be legal. It's now illegal in certain ways. So you have to describe it. And I don't think you can do it in the middle of the playoffs, Bob. You got to deal with it then in the summer.
Say, yeah, but you did deal with it last summer, and you put rules and regulations in place for this year, and players have been suspended over the last 6 months as a result of this, and clearly you have to acknowledge that whatever you did, whatever the league did, whatever Shanahan did in the last 6 months has not had the impact that it should have had. Has not. You don't meet out suspensions because you want it to keep happening. You meet them out because you want players to understand, we don't want you to do this anymore. And so players have been suspended, and clearly, Coley, they don't care.
Well, as I said before, there's just not the individual who administers the suspension. There's not the two managers involved on both sides. And as you know, you can be on either side. Stan Bowman's been on either side lately. He's had a player suspended, Keith, and now he has a player who's hurt. He's looking at another player who did it. And you can be in either situation. So, you know, you have to take a look at all the parties involved, including the players. And I don't want to use the old standby, well, the players are doing it. You know, they got to do something here. We all got to get together. We got a new CBA coming up, and we got to get together, and we got to understand it's just not about defending the player who did it, but there's a player who got hit or hurt in all these situations. Where are we at with this? Mm. And if the players continue to do it, then it's like other things. We have to take over as a league and say, this is what we're going to do, and perhaps we got to tear up the whole supplemental discipline issue and go back at it again.
Bingo.
Last
question because we got to go.
Well, last question.
Well, I'm sorry. Look at the time.
Well, you took up all the time.
I apologize. We'll ask two questions.
The guy does have a job that we spend all this time talking about the job he used to do. I'm going to ask you quickly about the job you do, and that's you're in charge of officials. Coley, I'm wondering if you're concerned about some of the calls that have been missed. Rafi Torres has that hit. There's no penalty called, and then the next day he's suspended indefinitely. We know the offside in the Philly game. We know the Ryan Clough play. I'm not expecting you to throw your guys under the bus, but you got to be concerned about some of the calls that are being missed.
I'm concerned. I'm not sure that's the right word. I'm concerned. We're alarmed. We want perfect games officiated, and you do deal with that every year. When you've got your best, you know, let's face it, when Stephen Wacom's part of the best crew last night and a call doesn't get made, it's upsetting. Stephen Wacom's probably the person most upset about a non-call being made. I don't think, you know, sure, you like perfect games to be officiated now, Damien, and we're on every play, every call. We want it to be done right, but mistakes happen, and we just got to deal with it and hope we deal in the right way. Do you pull people out of the playoffs? Do you replace them with other people? You do what you have to do, no different than coaches have to make decisions. So, you know, does Phoenix pull a coin off out of their lineup because you give the puck away in overtime? And, for lack of a better example, that's what we're dealing with now. And every night you hope for the perfect game to be officiated. And it's never going to happen. It doesn't happen in other sports. And we've been pretty lucky here the last 8-10 years. And we just hopefully... You know, we got to get this thing straightened out, and we're in the first round, and we got three more rounds of this stuff.
One word answer: would you pull a referee out of the playoffs for a mistake? What? Yes or no?
I can't give you a one word answer. That's okay. Unfair. Okay. I can say here's the answer. We look at things after the first round. We say, where's everybody at?
Okay.
Coley, we could talk all night. You know that.
And he can talk all night. I can tell you that.
Well, I know, but we have other things we have to do, and you understand. So we thank you, as always, for joining us. One of these days, Coley Campbell will come on when nothing's going on. I don't know what we'll talk about, but one of these days.
He is the best. He is one of the best storytellers in hockey.
Well, and we've said it before. We will say it again. He, to the best of my knowledge, has never said no.
Never ducked.
Never ducked. For a second. Don't always agree. In fact, a lot of times we don't. But he's usually there. His boss, less so. Coley Campbell, Director of Hockey Operations.
Just couldn't resist.
17 minutes, Gary. It's prime time on the Fan Radio Network, Sirius and Sportsnet. We're a little late, 10 before the hour. But we want to get this in. Brent Sutter has been named the head coach of the Canadian team at the Men's World Hockey Championships. I finally said that the right way after screwing it up all afternoon.
Way to go.
And here's Mr. Sutter. Brent, congratulations. Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. It's been an interesting 2.5 or 3 weeks. You go from chasing a playoff position to departing the scene in Calgary to being named to this position. A question off the top, because I don't think I've ever asked this question of anybody in your position. Is this a paid position? Do you get paid to coach Team Canada?
Nope.
So
that was pretty simple.
That was pretty succinct. So how come you're doing it?
Pretty obvious, isn't it?
Well, I guess to put that that maple leaf on, I suppose.
Yeah, that's what's the most important thing about it is it's you're doing it for your country, and you're doing it because you. I mean, I've worked with Hockey Canada before in the past.
And, right.
You know, it's I'm tremendously honored that Kevin and his staff and Hockey Canada have the confidence in myself to go over there and lead this team. So I'm tremendously honored. I've always been very proud of putting that representing your country, and obviously, and having that leaf in the front of your chest is really important.
Didn't part of you think, though, Brent, you know what? I could just take a few months off. I've been through a fair bit in the last little while.
You know what? It's been a long haul. It's been a... I can't even put it in words. It's been... there you go. I don't even know. I don't even have words for it. Right. It's been a very roller coaster ride here in the last 3 weeks to a month, and or longer, I guess. It was fighting basically playoffs since middle of January on, and then to not get there in the end, and that was tremendously devastating, probably the worst that I've ever felt in my career as an NHL either player or involved in coaching, and then to get to the point where both between the Flames and myself, we felt it was best to part ways, and that was a tough, and it's been tough to through it. But the great thing about it is that it was the day of that it all happened in Calgary. I got a call from Kevin and Bob Bob Nicholson, and so I was right getting your focus right back to Team Canada again and get going on that. And it's been a whirlwind. But, I've had an opportunity to talk to a lot of the players on trying to get hold of the rest of them here. The guys have been named already to the team, and everyone's really excited. And the great thing about it is I know a lot of these guys. I've coached them before at either World Juniors or Super Series or on club teams. So it's exciting to be able to work with the guys again.
Right. You know, we're dead out of time, and we apologize because we wanted to, I got a bunch more questions to ask you about, but maybe we'll give you a little time to kind of settle into this thing, and although you don't have a whole lot of time, but and we'll bug you another time and get to some of the other stuff. Congratulations again. Thanks for a few minutes today. We appreciate it. Brent Sutter, head coach, men's team, world championships.
Unpaid head coach. You did get to the bottom of that, Robert.
What? Not a job I'm interested in. Put that on my list. Hang on. This is getting to be a very long list. Jobs Bob does not want. Good night. See you tomorrow.